Welcome, welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
And Fran.
Welcome, everybody. It's Pottercast 174 and we're going to be so excited and high energy because we realize that...
We weren't that high energy last week, and we're sorry. It won't be better this week.
That scared me, John. We just terrified our
John's
audience.
Clearly not sick anymore.
Can you explain?
Do you have any words in your defense after last week's sick episode?
Yeah, explain.
Never eat a hot dog you don't remember what was in the fridge for.
Or is white.
You know, it wasn't a white hot dog, like a marshmallow. It was a regular-looking hot dog that had just a weird, slimy little coating on, like, the exposed end of the package.
Okay, continuing on the most fast-paced, high-energy podcast there's ever
been. Well, it's a little bit slower than last week because we had
it's
the movie
fast.
Trailer.
It's
no,
faster.
It has to be fast. Okay,
you have to call.
Okay,
everything's
so awesome,
fast.
Fast. Ginny Harry. Oh, yes, we do. We have a new picture of them.
Oh, my gosh, Ginny Harry, what happened? Tell us what happened to you. Please tell us what happened.
We have a new picture of them at Slughorn's dinner party, which is really quite fabulous. And they're just kind of looking at each other, and Ginny looks nice. She's all dressed up, and it's very good.
Are they making out?
Just kind of. They're at the table, so you can see, like, you know... McLaggen or whoever just sitting around the table, and there's Ginny. And
were they playing footsie?
No, they're standing.
I have to admit, I was on a family thing today, and so I have not seen this, so I'm going to look right now.
Okay. And we also have another one of Miss Ginny in her Quidditch outfit, too. She rocks. Miss Hollyhead Harpy Hero. She rocks.
Ooh.
Go Bunny Wright. Love you. So that was really cool.
Hells yeah, she plays
yeah,
Quidditch.
She does.
Is there a girls' locker room and a boys' locker room?
John, one would hope.
I've read many fanfics that
yes, I'm sure you have.
Was blurred whether or not such a thing existed.
Really? Where's the Slughorn?
I never got the impression that from the books, but I imagine their Quidditch robes in the books are just different robes. They just put it on over there what they're wearing.
I think
they just use
their own. They use the tower. They don't. Do they use the locker rooms, or can they just go actual rooms?
They have their locker room.
What I'm curious about.
Pep chalks and stuff. I remember that. So, yeah, they have locker room.
Yeah. Now, what I want to know is in Quidditch, is it necessary for the board players to have any kind of extra support under their uniform?
John, we've missed you so. Okay, what's up? What else is happening, Sue?
Honestly, you got the rope bludgers.
There's just a charm for it, like the bubblehead charm.
Not even, no.
Mollius Rapello.
No.
Wow, no. Unintended punchline from Frost takes the cake.
Maybe I'm so disappointed. John likes that. You. Did you
Mollius Rapello is the term.
Silencio!
Sue, what are we going to do with the boys?
Some kind of Protego, perhaps.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
I'm crying.
What else is going on?
Okay, we have some more news. In the Highlands of Scotland are going to be seen.
Moving on.
Joop.
You know what this reminds me of?
Oh, no.
Pottercast 17. Do you remember 17?
Fracking
when
dead.
John said about Noe Lover 42.
Yes.
And I said that Neil Murray was going to come after John with all his anesthesia tools, and John said he's going to come after me with the CD of Mugglecast, and I lost it.
That's right.
I lost it for, like, the entire episode.
At least it's not habit-forming.
John. It wasn't a dig at Mugglecast. It was just a reminder of a long ago joke that
Yeah.
And it was so funny, behind the scenes story about that joke. We had just agreed with them behind the scenes not to rip on each other in each other's shows anymore. Literally hours before we recorded this podcast.
Yeah.
And it was too funny. We couldn't take it out. It was too funny. Okay, I'm better.
Classic.
I'm better.
Okay. Everybody's breathing now. Sorry, are you guys all breathing
valiantly,
now? Calm.
Valiantly okay. trying okay. to go on.
Some news about the Deathly Hallows films. This set to begin production in February, but right now crews are apparently been scouting in the Highlands of Scotland, and that they're back and they're going to be doing some filming there at some of the glens that they had filmed before, the Glencoe and Glenfinnan and Glennevis and all those areas. So
Glencoe.
Very cool.
So in all these you know, whenever something like this comes out, we have to talk about where in the film it might be. So where do you think, Suze?
Where do I think?
It's for Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, well, I think...
It's for all the...
Shell Cottage. For sure would be one. Mm-hmm. I thought they might do another thing for where, like, the flight, when they show them, like, with the battle scene, they'll be over something. So when Moody falls and when, you know, they go to land into the different... I think it might be a dramatic... It would be a good locale kind of thing to overshoot, don't you think? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Totally.
Full of camping.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Let's hope the camping's short. But I think it'll be a good, you know, as we're doing through our bit by bits, you're right, Melissa, it's not that long. But, you know, they could have some good scenes there. It could be really good, though, with the goblins, though. I think that would be, I bet that would be a nice area because there's a lot of locks and stuff that they could have the goblins, you know, and Ted and those guys, Dean, are talking. That would be really cool.
Totally. All right, what else?
Okay. Well, the rest of the news has to do with our great something in May. It's called LeakyCon 2009, right, Melissa?
Oh, yeah.
LeakyCon.
Proposals are now open. Send them in. Yeah. Ideas.
That means if you want to talk about what equipment a Quidditch player would have to wear, then you can write a paper on it, John, I dare you, and submit it.
The what now?
Nothing. Forget it. And
I get to write a paper?
No. No. So, okay, basically how it works is it sounds a lot more daunting than it is. Mm-hmm. If you have an idea about the canon, an idea about the series, an idea about the phenomenon, and you would like to present this idea at LeakyCon for a panel in front of people, and you get to talk and be all knowledgeable, then you submit a paper, and you submit this idea. All the information is on LeakyCon.com, and you can, if yours gets chosen, we'll have a panel of people who choose them. If yours gets chosen, then you get to do it, and we will all come and not heckle you at all.
I'm going to heckle.
I have an idea. I've got lots of ideas for panels.
I know you do.
I'm just going to do a panels like the whole time at LeakyCon. I'm
going to do a panel on panels.
I want to do a panel on. I'm going to announce it right now, and hopefully it'll get picked. But I want to do a panel on Hufflepuff Roundtable. And you, John Noe.
Now, how can you do something so general like that? How can you do
it on Hufflepuff? Narrow it down, but you know what? I'm just warning. If you try and crash the panel, you're out. There's going to be trouble.
I might not personally crash a panel, but if there were Death Eaters that showed up, I mean, I would know nothing about that.
You know, I'm going to have, like, a battalion of, like, people who love the house elves, stand guard.
No, I hope that if we all do panels that they're not on top of each other, because I really want to go to your panels and I really want to do some panels. I just don't know exactly on what yet.
Right. So, but you know, LeakyCon is going to be great. We're going to have academic stuff, but we're going to have fun stuff too. And please submit. Come on. I know that there's a lot of great ideas. So awesome.
Going to be, so I can't even explain to you how excited I am for LeakyCon, and I know a couple of people are asking me, hey, what's in LeakyCon, Melissa? Why? You just wait.
Oh, my God. I want to do my cooking thing. I keep talking about doing my...
You keep talking about it on podcast.
A butterbeer contest.
No, you keep talking about it on podcast as if talking about it on podcast makes it so. This is why we have a submissions process. You have to talk to the people running the event.
Yeah, John.
You don't get special treatment just because you're a
podcast. Who does he think he is talking on podcast?
Exactly.
No one listens or cares.
No one listens or cares.
Well, just as a reminder that LeakyCon is going to be held in Boston, Massachusetts on May 21st to the 24th, and we are benefiting Book Aid International and Harry Potter Alliance, which are two charities very near and dear to us, and we hope that you can come. Registration is open. Please sign up. It's going quickly, and it'd be a great holiday present, and just check it out. Yes.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. And we're going to have soon... Will she kill me if I say this? All right, well, I'm going to say it anyway. There's going to be a YouTube channel for it soon. We're going to put a lot of great stuff on there relative to the conference. So
for LeakyCon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh.
The LeakyCon, so that you can go.
Is that what we
like...
talked about at your apartment?
No.
Oh.
No, and just, here's 1.5. I just want to make this is important. 2 weeks as we're doing this, Beetle the Bard will be released.
I care.
I love Sue, I just love all the ways that you get around getting only having five things.
I know.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, oh, 1.3. Hey, let's just do five news articles a week.
Well,
that'd be fun.
This week I only had four listed, and then I just kind of thought, oh, you know what? We are. I looked at the calendar. I'm like, you know what? It is 2 weeks until Beetle comes out when we're recording this, and I should just... Okay, never mind.
That'd be
I haven't posted this on Leaky, but I know that the sales on the collector's edition of the... are going very, very quickly. So if you're still considering, you're asking that from Santa or whoever.
It has been hovering in the top top one slot on Amazon. It's where this book is hovering.
Yeah.
And there are only 100,000 of them.
Yeah, so those would be going good. So let's.
Well, yeah, there's more left you can buy.
You better do it fast.
Better do it fast.
Special edition Beatles?
Special edition Beatles.
You know what? I'm excited with that because that comes with like a bunch of sketches that are not going to be in the standard edition, and they're going to be suitable for framing. Yeah, from Joe Sketches.
Dang it.
It's a rich man.
Yeah. But still, I mean, what an opportunity to own, you know, just thought. Because I know that you can buy those prints that are nice, but just to have something like this, I just think it's really, really cool. So.
All right, guys. News item number. Like two, couple things. First of all, the EP of the Month Club, if you haven't signed up for it yet, go do that, wizardrockclub.com. They're also putting out a Best of 2007 compilation. All the proceeds go to the HP Alliance, so it's like a song from each band on one CD, and all the details are at wizardrockclub.com/node/49.
Wow.
That's wizardrockclub.com/node/49. And the 2008 EP Club is still on sale, so go check it out.
How long have they been doing the Wizard Rock Club?
This is the end of the second year now.
Wow. Now, what if I just heard of this and I wanted to join, but I also wanted, like, the previous year's CDs. Can you still ever get those, or are those gone for good?
You can ask, but I think once they're out of them, they're out of them. And remember last year that we had a thing that if you donated money to one of our causes, you got... You want a chance to get
right.
a free to all the 2007 EPs signed.
Mm-hmm.
I finally have all those signed, and I'm going to be picking a random donor out of our database. And so
that's awesome. Holy cow!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. HP Alliance update on December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
The Harry Potter Alliance, that's at thehpalliance.org, is restarting Stand Fast. You guys remember this from last year?
I do.
Yeah. This is when you give up some sort of luxury item like a Starbucks latte or the CD you were going to buy, etc. Or you take the bus instead of taking a cab, and you donate that money to help protect the Lily Potters in Darfur and the Potter Watch efforts in Burma. Just to give you an idea of the perspective, about $10 will protect an entire family in Burma and a woman in Darfur for, I think, a year.
What?
I'm not positive if that's it's a year. So it's a significant amount of time at the very least. It's absurdly cheap to protect these people. So your money really is making a huge difference. Last year, we as Harry Potter fans raised $8,000. Imagine how
many
people
got
protected. It's just amazing.
So, that's amazing. So that would protect like 800 families for a year.
Yeah. I hope I'm right about the year thing. Actually, let me go check this out.
If it's like a week, then it'll be really funny.
But even a week, I mean, that's more than a week. And it's such a worthy cause. I mean, these women are just literally, and it's not just women, but mostly it's the women that go out, and they're just risking their life, and a lot of people are being killed tragically, and it's just more tragedy upon tragedy. And if you can just make one little tiny sacrifice, can just save so many people. It's really quite astonishing, so...
Well, in Darfur, it really is the women because they are in such danger of being raped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
It's rampant. So $3 in Darfur allows a woman to not have to ever, not ever, but for a significant amount of time, leave a refugee camp. Because once she leaves a refugee camp, I mean, it's pretty likely that she would be attacked or raped.
Right. And what if these women are leaving, though, is to, for just the most basic fundamental things to survive. They need wood to cook. And so they have to do this. They have no choice because their children will starve. And it's just...
So think about it. It's just providing them the basic essentials to survive so that they can stay in these refugee camps and they don't have to expose themselves and their families to danger. It's so... It's such a small amount of money. You can go to thehpalliance.org/civilian protection. That's thehpalliance.org/civilian protection to make a donation. The Standfast Day is December 3rd, but donations are always open. Please go take part. What are you guys going to give up?
And I was thinking about lattes. Mine don't tend to cost $10, but I could probably maybe do more than a couple of them.
Well, a trip to Chipotle would be $10, right?
You know, I haven't been such a long time.
Sounds off Chipotle.
You're off? Wow.
I could give up a Dole Whip at Disneyland.
Dole Whip.
What are those things?
Oh, it's like the most delicious pineapple ice cream float with, like, pineapple juice.
Oh.
And it costs about $5. So
well, a couple of
those. I gave up that, you know.
Yeah, that'll help. Every little bit helps. There you go.
That would be good.
See, my Starbucks isn't that expensive, but I tend to go kind of often. So
you're there every day.
So if it's once or twice a day at $1.75 a pop, that adds up.
Yeah,
so.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go one
what
day
do you
without
get for
Starbucks.
$1.75?
I get a Doppio espresso over ice. It's $1.85 now, sorry.
Oh.
Do you get your Pellegrino there?
I avoid buying Pellegrino there because it costs $2.75, and you can buy something that's three times that size for 99 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I see.
But sometimes when I'm in the mood and it strikes me and I'm about town, I'm like, I want a Pellegrino, and I have some Pellegrino time, I go get it.
Awesome. Okay. Sorry.
Well, don't send them Pellegrino. Send them the money that you would have spent on Pellegrino.
What if they wanted Pellegrino?
They really, I'm sure they would enjoy the Pellegrino experience, but there are other things that are way more important.
Firewood or a bubbly drink?
Exactly. Firewood and being able to stay alive or a bubbly drink? Let's go with the firewood and being able to stay alive.
Why am I laughing? This is terrible.
It's not. Well, you know, listen, a little humor is okay as long as it's appropriate and everything. Guys,
I mean,
the HP Alliance / Civilian Protection. Don't just do it yourself. Tell your friends. Make a Facebook item. Make a video. If you make a video about Stand Fast, we're going to put it together and put it on our Leaky channel.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
So you email us at staff@the-leaky-cauldron.org when you've got a video, or you post it as a response to one of our podcast videos, and we will grab all those videos and put them as a Potter fan standing strong for Darfur and Burma, and we'll put it up as a video. Cool?
Cool.
All right, guys, bit by bit, and then Beetle, and then we'll see with the drums.
Welcome back to Bit by Bit, where we take our little bit of Deathly Hallows and we look at it a bit at a time. And this week we are on Chapter 17, Bathilda's Secret. Oh, man. Bathilda? Is that how you say her name?
I always say Bathilda.
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 It is. And before we get into it, we are going to make a call to all of our lovely listeners to say, if you want to suggest talking points for the next chapters of the book, you can leave those in the comments thread of the episode at podcast.com, or email us if you're so inclined at staff@podcast.com.
So, right, this chapter is Bathilda's Secret, or holy cow, Harry, there's a giant snake coming out of that woman's neck.
OMG WTF.
What did I say? An LOL snake, lol snake, in your corpse, attacking Harry?
No.
It's gross.
What a weird chapter.
This chapter upset me like no. And I will try not to rant on and go on. I know we want to get into
it. No, we want you to rant.
But this one we should set this up that for last week, as we discussed, they had just been to Godric's Hollow, and it was Christmas. They had been at the graves of James and Lily Potter, and they had left. They had seen, Harry had seen where his parents were laying, and then him and Hermione were leaving, and now they're walking down through the village, and Okay, I don't know, because I'm going to start ranting, so we should talk about the, what's going on here first.
Are you
going
to talk about the Godric Hollow thing?
No, not yet. No, no. I have a whole about
but
this
is that what your rant is about? Is
no, my rant is... No, no. This rant is about what's coming up, so you let's go on. Let's go.
Okay. But that's not... Okay. Okay. So they find the Potter's house, but then there's this wonderful thing. There's the signs. First of all, they've left the Potter's house ruined as a testament to what happened there, as a reminder to what happens when Voldemort's around. Houses mm-hmm. get destroyed, yo.
Now, can people see the house or no? Just the wizards.
Yeah.
Because the sign comes...
Oh, maybe just the wizards.
The sign comes up because the wizards can see it, but I forget as if they can see, if everyone can see the house.
I think maybe just the wizards see the ruins, because if Muggles saw the ruins, they might wonder why it's still
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, okay. Good call.
I don't know. Could be wrong.
I thought it was interesting how Harry asked why you can't rebuild it, you know, I'm talking about the dark magic. I thought that was really, because I know we had discussed that in the fandom, you know, like on forums and stuff that people have been talking,
yeah,
what it would look like and stuff. And that was interesting that maybe he says, maybe it's like the injuries from dark magic and you can't repair the damage. Just kind of the mark of the, you know, the AKA curse was that evil.
Yeah.
I don't know if that happens elsewhere. I don't know.
It also shows the pure destructive energy in an AK, which is that it. I mean, it rebounded and it destroyed everything. Yeah, yeah. It can't. But then there's all these notes on the thing that say, "Harry, wherever you are."
Yeah,
we're with you. We believe.
Doesn't Hermione kind of be like, "Oh, it's so disrespectful"? And Harry's like, "No, I'm glad they did it. That's crazy."
It's amazing. Just in case he goes by, they left him like little notes.
It's really
like,
sweet.
It's like a wailing wall, is what it is.
Like what?
It's like what?
It's like the wailing wall.
Yeah.
In Jerusalem, it's like mm-hmm. it's like you. They have no idea if he'll ever see it. No idea if these notes will ever get picked up. But they leave it anyway because it's something that you do because you believe in a person. It's
right.
It's really lovely. It's a lovely sentiment.
Oh, it's beautiful. I exactly flesh in the Wailing Wall. And two, I know when people think I'm laughing too, but like there was this musician named Jim Morrison, and he was this lead singer from the Doors, and his supposed grave in Paris, where it is, and people, it's just full of graffiti and stuff like this, and it's amazing how people do that. Like when somebody dies or there's this great tragedy, we will naturally, as human beings, we want to come and commemorate. So people will often, you'll see scenes. I know I've covered it myself, and Melissa, I'm sure you have too. Is that you'll go and you'll see these flowers, and they'll light the candles, the hurricane lamps, and stuff, and people will like put teddy bears down if there's been a great tragedy for a child or something. It's amazing, and to see that correlated here to Harry was just whoa. It's very cool.
Yeah. I hated covering those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Never as bad as when it's a high school person and you see, like, their Letterman's jacket or something. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's move on.
Yeah. So, but then all of a sudden there's this kind of strange figure appears, right?
Smelly old lady.
Yeah.
A little harmless old smelly lady.
Yeah. And they're like, what the hell? Is this a muggle or a witch? Yeah. What's she doing? She's old. But it's weird because, like, aren't they under the cloak?
Well, they notice they're under the cloak, but they're by the house. And so the fact that she can see them and means that she can probably see the house, too.
And they're disguised. They're in Polyjuice, remember. They have muggles. So the Filda, or whoever is inside the Filda.
Spoiler.
Well, they have to ask, are you the Potter boy? Because they're in disguise, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look, can we just, like, I wrote this in our little notes that we do. Can we think about this for a second? There is a woman approaching him whose corpse is inhabited by a giant snake. Where did she come up with this stuff? Honestly.
But where is that snake hiding in this body? The body is not that big.
Inside
it's coiled up inside of her.
And it's dark magic, so don't forget that.
Yeah. I mean, if he can do, if you know, we know about Inferi at this point. If he can bewitch dead corpses... That he can install a snake inside a dead corpse is feasible, too. But you're right, Melissa. It's just an extraordinary evil thing. And it boggles the mind that Joe, our lovely Joe, could think of this.
You know. So they go to the house, and it's just completely layered in dust. And the woman will not speak around Hermione. Only will speak to Harry.
Now, okay, how can Harry not recognize Parsel Tongue by now? I'm sorry.
He's kind of dumb, Frack. Harry, not the brightest bulb in the batch when he's not in full hero mode.
Seriously. So I'm going, like, oh, yeah,
it's
me.
He hears it as English. He hears it as words. But Hermione would hear it as hissing, which is why she doesn't speak in front of him.
I know, but I'm just saying, he...
I know.
He knows... He, like, in the, they already covered that in the sixth book. Like, he heard them talking, and then he heard, oh, it's Parselmouth. I guess he was off guard, yeah. But it's like, when you hear someone speaking a language, even though I understand a little bit of French and a little bit of Spanish, and so, like, I know they're speaking Spanish, but I still understand it. So I guess this is a foreign concept to me that, I guess he's so fluent in it without having to learn it, that
he
it's
also,
just second nature.
He also is holding, he's also holding the Horcrux, which might be helping things along.
Yeah.
So now he's got two pieces of Voldemort, and actually three with the snake. So there's three pieces of Voldemort around.
Right. That's another question, though. Melissa, you made a good point. This is my question. How does Nagini physically do this? Is Voldemort there, like, directing Nagini's mind to make the body move? I mean, what kind of, you know, I know that sounds bizarre.
Yeah. But well, what's happening is that at the same time, Harry starts to act as Voldemort. So it's so weird. You have these two figures who are both acting as Voldemort as the actual Voldemort is trying to approach. It's really, really confusing. So, yeah. like for instance, the Horcrux, like, wakes up and it's beating soul, kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. beats against Harry's chest, which is like the Proseltongue. If you're in Harry's situation, you keep an eye out for Proseltongue. You keep an ear out. You also keep an ear out for when the evil, ticking Horcrux gets excited. That's when you run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evil, ticking Horcrux, yeah.
You know? That's what I'm saying. But then, like, bad. When everything starts to go down, Harry speaks as Voldemort. It's so weird.
So weird. I don't get this.
So, yeah, it's Voldemort kind of, like, possessing, I guess.
I guess
all
so.
Of them, or seeing through those eyes.
That just is... Oh, God. So, okay, so they come in, but this is neat, though. This is one part I actually like in this chapter. It was about the photograph, that this was a good plot, and we finally realized that there's this picture frame. They're in the room, and mm-hmm. who is it? But it's Grindelwald, right? Yeah, it's Grindelwald, right? Yeah.
Grindelwald, yeah. The thief. It's the thief who stole the thing.
Yeah.
This is when Harry puts
Harry
two together, or...?
Yeah, Harry looks at it, and the first thing he says is, that's the thief. That's the thief that he saw in the vision.
Mm.
You know,
and then Hermione recognizes that it's from the book, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think so.
So, like, Voldemort is, like, running towards this place. You got the snake acting as Voldemort. You got Harry acting as Voldemort. You got Hermione as the only person who's totally herself. Mm. And they're trying to get away. And in the middle of... They do get away. They just get away. Voldemort sees them, this bald man and the little woman, meaning... Harry and Hermione in Polyjuice. Voldemort sees them running, feels that anguish or whatever, and when he's particularly agitated, Harry becomes him. And Harry slips into his mind, and he relives all of Godric's Hollow. The murder night.
I wondered how she would go about doing that, how we were going to actually learn the details of what happened. And, you know, I remember specifically saying, oh, it's going to be through a pensive or something. But this was much more dramatic. And this was just...
So much more dramatic.
I mean, whoa.
It also shows that Voldemort's thinking about it. Why would Voldemort revisit that night, if only to just relive again? He has beaten me in Godric's Hollow again.
Well,
I think it's
think of where they're at, though.
He's at Godric's Hollow.
Do you think Harry forced the memory out of him? Because Harry, like, willed it, wanting to know the information because he was in Godric's Hollow. Maybe he accessed Voldemort's memory himself.
I think that there's some merit to that.
But maybe...
Because Voldemort can access whatever memory he wants of Harry's, and then mind connection should go both ways, so...
Maybe.
Can Voldemort access Harry's memories?
No, I mean, he could if he wanted to, but he's been using Occlumency against him.
Right. But here's the scene, though. They're in the room, the actual room, or near the room right next door, where Voldemort met his greatest defeat, where he suffered his greatest injury. So maybe that's why he was so vulnerable, and it was
that's true,
that
Voldemort
Harry was able, you know.
That's a very good point, too, because Voldemort is so afraid and hates death. The closest time he came to death was there with the same child that is there now. So I could see why it would be at least a concern of his, or at least a thought.
Yeah. It's flashing back
to
his...
It's really interesting that we got to actually see, not just find out more about that night, but we got to actually see what happened written as a full scene as though we were there.
Yeah.
What I'm still confused about is what the hell was Mathilda doing here? or the snake Mathilda or whatever, like
waiting
for house.
They just knew that Harry would come eventually.
Yeah, just like
well,
Hermione
he probably
said.
Probably had her waiting.
Why wouldn't he like trigger something where like as soon as the snake sees Harry, then it would like have Voldemort app right there?
Because the snake, the snake had to make sure it was Harry. That's when Voldemort started coming. Remember, it said, "You're the Potter boy." Because he was in Polyjuice, like the snake couldn't tell.
Oh, right. Stupid snake.
Well, I don't know why I would ask. You should just say, do you understand me? And then it's like, yeah. Hey, come this way.
Yeah, for real.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. You hear what I'm saying?
He's like, hey, psst. He's like, dang it, that doesn't work. Hold on. Get it? Because he's a snake.
Dang it. Ah, he's funny. Okay, so then we see it. We see what happened that night, which is really interesting. We get a glimpse of James, Lily, and Harry acting as just a normal family. James is amusing Harry with colored puffs of smoke coming out of his wand.
Aww.
And then Voldemort busts in, and nobody has their wand! They lose their wands! And they're these big fighters, and they none of them have their wands right on their body.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
They're hiding from Voldemort, and they don't have their wands right on them.
Wait, what do you mean they don't have their wands on them?
Neither of them,
In the flashback, neither of them had their wands.
Oh, are they talking about Harry and Hermione? I'm like, huh? Oh, I know, isn't it? But I think they got comfortable under the Fidelius charm. Like, they've been there for a while, and then, like, just they've been cooped up in the house for so long. And remember, they think that Sirius is holding their secret. So, like, and to them, it's kind of like a given,
that,
like,
they think
and he can't find us here. It's when they, you know what I mean?
They think that Wormtail, they think that Wormtail is holding the secret.
Well, they don't think Wormtail is, because no one told them that. Only Sirius and Wormtail switched,
yeah,
right?
He was the secret keeper.
I know, but he didn't. They didn't tell anybody. That's what Sirius thought. That was a great idea because it was a last minute switch.
Right, but the Potters don't think that Sirius is holding the secret. They think that Wormtail is holding the secret.
No, I was under the impression that the only person that knew that Wormtail had the secret switched was Sirius and Wormtail. Because why wouldn't Dumbledore? Oh, Dumbledore
know,
knew because he knew.
Wait, so what what are you saying? You're saying
I was under the impression
that
the only
that
people who knew that Wormtail was a secret keeper...
No, listen to me. Oh, my God! Let me finish the question first.
Sorry.
Are you saying that they're comfortable with Peter as the secret keeper, or they're comfortable with Sirius as the keeper of the other secrets?
I'm saying that they're comfortable with Sirius being the secret keeper. I thought they were naive to the fact that Wormtail was ever
Sirius
the secret keeper.
Sirius is not the secret keeper.
I know, but he was going to be the secret keeper.
So why are they comfortable with the fact that he's the secret keeper if he's not the secret keeper?
Because I was under the impression that the only people who knew that Wormtail was the secret keeper would be Dumbledore, who did the charm, and Sirius, who said that Wormtail should be the secret keeper. I thought it was a last-minute switch.
Dumbledore didn't do the charm.
Who did it?
Dumbledore didn't do the Potters.
The Potters did the Fidelius charm?
The Potters can't tell somebody a secret. You can't tell somebody a secret and not be part of the... You can't not be part of the charm. It's your secret.
Why not?
How would the Potters have set up... How could the Potters have set up the secret and tell it only to Peter if somebody else had to be involved in the charm?
That's why I said Dumbledore. I thought Dumbledore did the charm.
No, he didn't.
Oh, well...
Who did
Dumbledore
the charm?
Offered... Oh, my God. Dumbledore offered to be the secret keeper. Dumbledore was under the impression that Sirius would be the secret keeper. Sirius convinced them to make Peter
the secret keeper. Right.
It was just between Peter and the Potters. Peter betrayed them.
I thought Dumbledore had a hand in it. So, my bad.
No. I got very confused. No, it was just between the Potters, and that's why it's only between the people whose secret it is and the person who's keeping it.
And how did Dumbledore get the invisibility cloak for him?
It was before they went under the Fidelius charm. Why do you need an invisibility cloak under the Fidelius charm?
I thought they were under the Fidelius charm for longer than that.
I don't know. I think it was a week. It was 1 week they were under the Fidelius charm before it started. Remember in book 3 he says, not even a week later or something?
This chapter is such a downer.
To say the least. I have a rant, and I don't want to interrupt with the story context, but for me, I have a real problem with this whole chapter. And not a real problem, but it just upset me terribly. And the reason why it upset me terribly is because we have just gone back, the chapter before, we understand what is going on, that it is Christmas, that we have been to a grave site We have just paid homage to the dead, and now we're at a house, a place that is consecrated, and it has been the site of a mother's sacrifice for her child, one of the greatest, most noblest things that you can do. This is Christmas Eve, and Christmas, the most, I think, the second, probably, that's probably not the most revered in the Christianity, but the certainly the second most revered day in a holiest day, a day of purity and joy and celebration. And here we are witnessing the most, I think, the most vile, disgusting, pure act of evil and horror I can imagine. And for me, I was appalled. I couldn't believe that this was happening. And I understood then that Joe chose this deliberately, and I understood why. It's not so much a rant, but it just was so overwhelming for me. This was the chapter that I think upset me more than what's coming with Dobby. But for me, I see this as just an extraordinary stance on Joe's part, that she's saying that, you know, look here, I don't know if she's making a point about that evil can still come at all times, that I don't know what she's trying to do with it, but I just thought it was a very powerful statement, yet it upset me terribly. Maybe it just flew to my own backgrounds, my own traditions, my own sense of what it is, but I and this site that we had longed for in our fandom, we had wanted to know what happened that night, you know, on Halloween Eve, had been so filled my mind for so many years, and yet here is this act, this terrible, terrible thing that you know, to he's in just violating this dead woman's body with this snake. It just repulsed me, so horrified me. I'm sorry. I get very emotional with this. I can't even. I guess I fully grasp the level of evil that Voldemort was. If I didn't before, I understand it now when I was reading this chapter. And I think it really upset a lot of children. I know maybe it was just, I'm speaking as a mom too, but I know I talked to a lot of kids afterwards and they were just overwhelmed by this chapter. It just really freaked a lot of kids out. I know. And I think that was the point, obviously, to be just understand what they will do, but dark magic really can do. Oh, but okay, I'm sorry. It just, sorry.
It's such a perversion of such a magical day. It's just another reminder of how disgusting Voldemort is. How gross. Oof.
Yeah. And I'm sorry I shouldn't, but it just, I mean, with any, maybe, I don't know, maybe people out there can weigh on this too, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just overreacting, but I just was astounded that on an act of this violence and this horror can happen on such normally a time that for me is a beautiful time.
It makes it all the more poignant, I guess, that they found it when they did. It's like, who wants their Christmas ruined ever?
Yeah. Well, no.
What a way to ruin it, you know?
That went away, but it was just such a stark, just this incredible, we have just gone from this scene when you're paying reverence to, you've finally seen this, you know, to the cemetery, and then we're in this place that is a, you know, like it had been marked as a shrine. You know, we as human beings like to commemorate the past. I love history. Yeah. I love revering the past. And then it's just being just, you know, blown up, literally. I mean, we find out afterwards that, you know, how they escaped, literally. I mean, Hermione blew it up, you know, and just that terrible fight. And at least there wasn't Bombarda Maxima, but, you know, it was pretty close. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off.
With Hermione, it's just a Bombarda.
No, it's good, Sue. It's like you said, I think Joe really picked that intelligently just to show how poignant. Like, without the other side of that coin or the other swing of the pendulum, what happened at the end with Harry's sacrifice and his love, it really just deepens it and just kind of really, like, today in class we're going over, I'm teaching them a value study, and instead of starting with white paper, we're starting with, like, a brown paper, so it's like a mid-ground. And without really pushing those darks in there, when you put white on the paper to make the highlight, it's not as poignant. But if you really put the black on there and then highlight the white, it's just the synergy that creates just really, really helps, I don't know, convey what you're trying to say, basically. Does that make any sense? Is that convoluted?
No, it made sense to me, but I just ranted on for 10 minutes about this, so I'm done talking. I don't know. It just upset me so much, because especially then reading about Lily, because maybe, I would die for my child in a heartbeat. There would not be any second. And I understood Lily, and just seeing that written out again all these times we've heard in his past when he had the mentor lessons with Lupin and stuff, but just to see that whole story written out again was just very emotional for me, and I just, wow. Okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Be quiet.
It was very, very intense, for sure.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I thought was screwed up?
What? Is that the freaking Horcrux pretty much, like, attacks him.
Yes. Yes, I know.
Well, what the hell? Why is it... Why did it get stuck to his chest like that?
It just was... I guess it was overexcited. I don't know.
I mean...
Well, I think it doesn't have the benefit or the burden of a conscience. You know what I mean? Because Harry is in there, too. So he can temper as much as, you know, as Voldemort's soul desires what Voldemort wants. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Harry can temper it, you know, being that he's conscious and he's self-aware. But, like, the... You know, it's it inhabiting an inanimate object, so it's going to be a reflection of Voldemort without outmarred like Harry. So it's going to want Voldemort's out there to get Harry. It's like, I got him right here. I'll hold him. Carry up. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's carrying out Voldemort's order. Like, hold him. Don't let him get away.
Yeah.
And it's doing what it can.
Yeah, even if it wasn't a conscious order, it's just something that right. Voldemort doesn't want Harry to get away. It being a piece of Voldemort, yeah. It doesn't want Harry to get away. You know what I mean? It's just kind of a reaction or a reflex that...
That's interesting. So there was one big casualty of this whole
event. Oh my gosh, that was so... When I think about what happened, it makes me sick. Oh. Because I'm getting very sentimental, like stuff like that. So if I think, like, I lost him... Like, if I were to ever lose my stupid panda bear that I've had since I was 5 years old... Like, it's not like, I don't want another panda bear, I want my panda, you know what I mean? And then having to use someone else's panda bear, like, I don't want your panda bear, I want my panda bear, you know what I mean? Like, it just, ugh.
Yeah. You know, I thought recently about, like, if I had anything like that, because I know a lot of people who have, like, you know, stuffed animals from when they were babies, or blankets, things like that. Like, I can't think of anything that I have. It made me sad.
Your family.
You never had, like, a blankie or anything that you slept with when you were
little?
I mean,
not people, but, like okay, I had a baby blanket, like, it had the Smurfs on it or whatever, and I thought that was my blanket, uh-huh. And then come to find out that, like, my little sisters used it, too, when they were babies. I was like, so what the hell? What's aww. Mine? What's my little thing?
You had something you shared.
Aw, John didn't have a little thing.
Yeah. I want a thing. It's me. It's for me. It's too late now. 24.
It's not too late.
Never too late.
I'll never have anything that's sentimental.
Mm-hmm. Sad. Alrighty.
Brutal.
Well, I'm depressed.
Brutal.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Anyway, Harry broke his wand. It was sad, and he couldn't fix it, and everybody was torn up about it, and just totally broke in half. And then they were talking about Ollivander and how he was kidnapped and everything by. Voldemort.
It'd be so cool
Harry's
to be a wand
all emo and everything. And Hermione's getting all emo about Ron, and then the chapter's over.
Yes, just like that.
The end.
All right. So next week, The Life and Lives of Albus Dumbledore. And remember, what you want us to talk about regarding this chapter, please
yes.
leave it in the comments on Pottercast.com.
Okay. Let's wrap this sucker up.
Holla back, y'all.
Can't wait. Squeak. Okay. Well, we have a jam-packed show, right? We have a lot going on.
Yes. And it's only getting more jam-packed as we blather on. So
yes.
Let's keep going.
Cool.
Oh, what are we doing? We're doing bit by bit. I've had a lot of caffeine. We're doing bit by bit, and we're doing bit by bit, by the way, which we love and always love, so whatever, blog people. And we're doing a... What are we doing?
We're doing the big one, though.
Yeah, the Beatle. People aren't liking us doing the Beatles stuff, but the summary's been out for a long time, and so it's
there's
just kind of fun for us to talk about
button.
It.
There's a fast-forward button. You can even pick what second of the show you want to re-enter on iTunes.
Well, especially that this one that's in the show is in the book itself, the Deathly Hallows book, so just
yeah.
Saying.
Yes, so there's no spoilers in this one unless you haven't read Deathly Hallows, and if you haven't read Deathly Hallows, we're kind of annoyed at you right now, so go read Deathly
yeah.
Hallows.
Okay, you should hear better things than listen to us. You should be Deathly Hallows.
For real.
You're kind of annoying.
Oh, guys, I have news. Oh, my God. Harry History is going to be on the New York Times bestseller list again.
What?
What?
Yay.
Yes, it is staying on the list. It's at the last spot on the nonfiction list. Let me explain to you why this is such a big freaking compliment. Do you know who else is on this list? Malcolm Gladwell. Barack Obama, like, four times. I mean, it is an intense... this nonfiction list is so packed with craziness that to be anywhere on it is unbelievable. So thank you, guys. It's on it again. Hopefully it'll be on it again, and it'll stay through the holidays, but whatever happens, it is the most amazing thing ever. But still, tell your friends that about this book.
Congratulations. That's wonderful, Melissa.
Thank
That's
you.
Really good news.
It's exciting. It's
awesome.
It's... And I'm like, it's an embarrassment of riches. And I realized listening to the show last week that I sounded all like, yeah, I'm one of the bestsellers. What? What is that about? I scream and jump and cry. And
you can watch a reenactment of it on our YouTube channel, too.
Yes. Yes. I reenacted the whole thing for you guys. I acted for you guys.
There you go.
I don't act.
It's awesome. So,
no way.
YouTube.com/podcast.
John. Such a jerk.
What did you say, John?
I'm joking.
Ignore him.
Thank you, John. That's it. You're going to have to reenact something. You wait. I'm going to make you reenact something. I don't know what.
He's got a dollish dance he's been talking about, so I'm waiting for that one.
I know.
Yeah, I'm still collecting video responses mm-hmm. for that.
What happened?
Okay. John and I just did the same, like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, Ryan said that.
Oh, that's weird.
When he said it's Beetle time. I don't know if there's, like, a Beetle dance that...
Do-do-do-do-do. I don't know.
All right, new kids.
Anyway, remember that book that didn't come out yet that we're spoiling for everybody?
We are spoiling it for everybody because we bought the book for $4 million.
We did.
Or one golden monkey.
And one golden monkey.
One golden monkey. Now, is this a silky-haired golden monkey?
What?
Frankie.
Oh my god, Golden Monkey. I just realized why that popped into my head. It's because of those books. I was like, why did I come up with Golden Monkey right there? It's because of those books. The his Dark Materials has a Golden Monkey in it. Okay. I meant actual Golden Monkeys, like made out of gold that also move.
Oh, that also move. Okay.
That also move.
That's just ridiculous.
Hey, it's no less likely than a granite man vampire who can actually move like a
normal
human being.
But he's sparkly.
But he is also sparkly like dazzles. A diamond.
He's my dreamboat.
Next.
He dazzles.
Beetle the Bard. Beetle the Bard. The tale of the three brothers. The main one. Mm-hmm. The center one. The one with the skull.
Never heard this one.
Well, this one's actually pretty good. Because this one is mentioned in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows in Chapter 21, I believe, right? Tale of the Three Brothers when we meet Xenophilius. How do you say his name, Melissa?
Xenophilius Lovegood.
Xenophilius?
Like, yeah, you know, because, like, bibliophilia is to love books, and xenophobia is to be afraid of open spaces. So it's the love, or not, not open spaces, xenophilia is the afraid of strange things, or strange foreigners. So he loves the exotic and the strange, so that's why Xenophilius Lovegood.
Xenophilius, because I kept saying it's Phileas, and I was wrong. Xenophilius. Okay. People at home are like, Sue's messing up a word again. There you go. Okay, but I just
what
an interesting name
on that family. Lovegood.
I like it.
They won the rolling lottery with that name.
Yeah. This guy's pretty cool.
It's a high compliment from their author. So, Beetle the Bard, the Tale of Three Brothers, is about three brothers who come to a watery pass, and instead of drowning in it like you know, you're like apparently supposed to, they get smart and build a bridge to try to go across it. Death is all mad, comes over to them and says, hey, you know, people usually drown here. It's kind of where I make my money. And, not really. And,
Did one of them have to fight a knight?
No.
That's so great. I was watching that. I was watching Monty Python again, and they have a new YouTube, their official channel, and I was just watching that like hours ago.
So they make so this funny. Bridge to get over the water, and I can't. What is happening? We're like total opposites from last week here. Okay. They make this, which is good. They make this bridge to get over the water, and halfway across, a hooded figure called Death comes up and talks to them and says, this is where people usually drown. I get a lot of dead people here. What are you doing? You escape death. But since he sort of respects that they were able to evade him, they say that they will... He says that they will be allowed to... They can each pick an item. And a reward, I'm sorry.
A reward
for them for being... For evading. So the oldest brother picks, who's like kind of a warrior, picks
the mightiest wand that will win a duel for everybody. So Death creates the wand. Then the second brother who wants to demean Death because he thinks he's above it, he asks for the resurrection stone. He asks for the power to bring people back from Death. So Death picks up a stone and says that it would bring back the dead. The youngest, of course the youngest is always the wise and humble one. He doesn't trust Death enough to give him carte blanche, so he just asks for something that will allow him to get away from Death, so that when he leaves Death, Death can't find him. So Death hands over his own invisibility cloak with supposedly very bad grace.
But it's so pretty.
So
the
what?
The one we've seen is so pretty.
What? Say it again?
Well, Death would be wearing that.
You've seen it? Because it's kind of invisible.
Well, the inside of it has a pattern.
It's not like Joseph and the cloak of many colors, John.
No,
it's like an invisible coat.
It's like Frankie's new coat.
No,
that's in the movie. That's a whole... Anyway, so it's an invisibility cloak. They take their things. They go separate ways. As usually happens in stories like these, the ones who are arrogant or wish to put themselves above a very great power like Death get what's coming to them. The first guy, he brags that his elder wand has been won from Death himself, and it makes him powerful. So a wizard sneaks up on him and steals the wand, and then slits the brother's throat. He dies. The second brother goes to his home, turns over the stone to try and get these people back, but realizes that the girl that he wants the girl that he brings back, who is somebody he once wanted to marry, is quote silent and cold. She no longer belongs in the mortal world. Death kind of won there.
Doesn't he commit suicide or no?
What? Yes, he does. He commits suicide. Yeah,
because
so yeah, two brothers down. So the youngest brother uses the invisibility age to hide from Death until a very old age when he's quote unquote ready. He takes it off and gives it to his son. Then he greets Death quote gladly and as an old friend departing from this life. So it just shows you again, like in Harry, which brother got away with a long, happy life, and that's the one that doesn't seek power or to disrupt the natural forces of things.
Yeah, and what's great about the whole, like, he sees that the brothers, like, make the bridge to, and they quote-unquote escape Death, he knew, like, you know, what he's going to do is he has to kill them in a more creative way. A river's not going to take it, so he gives them what they want, quote-unquote, and that brings their own demise, which is interesting to me. And then the one brother who's wise wasn't never trying to escape Death, he was just... You know, he just didn't want to die at that point, and so he's like, you know, he realizes not his time yet. I'll deal with that when I get older, and passes on the cloak. Sorry to state the obvious. It's just fun for me.
Jonathan, I'm sorry if my summation contained a lot of that. I'm just trying to summarize
it. Took it all the way, though.
Long, so.
Well, it's hard to do summarize. I learned that last week, but.
Oh,
so. It's hard to do these
you
things.
You were fine.
The story is so. This is so, and you know, I love how Joe takes these things, because fables have been in, I mean, in the Bible, there's the one fable about the father giving the gifts to the sons, and they go off, I forget what that one's about, I don't know if people remind it, but...
The prodigal son?
Is that it?
The prodigal son, or the one
prodigal
about
son is the Bible.
The servants, there's a couple of them.
The servants, right? And
stuff.
He gives them,
yeah.
And they all go out, and they come back? I see.
Yes, and the one who's like, yeah,
the talents.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what
yes.
I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And one of them just buries it and doesn't use it.
Yeah, but it's interesting that Joe chose Death as the bearer of things that you would confront. You know, it's not somebody who's life, but it's Death. And I thought it was just an interesting choice that she, because these people were seeking something that would give them life, which is kind of interesting, the power through
and
life.
Well, it's interesting, too, not to contradict you, Sue, but it's kind of like instead of seeking things that would fulfill their lives, they were seeking things that would prevent their death. You know what I mean? And it's kind of interesting that they would, instead of wanting something to enrich their lives and to be able to live more, you know, to live the time that they take what they have and make it more saturated and just more beautiful, they want to waste their time on things to avoid death, to like either conquer, avoid death with the wand because he could win every duel, or like to have the arrogance to demean death, thinking he's above it. That's what makes us all even. The fact that we all die. You know what I mean? There's no difference between man. You know, like a rich man or a poor man. We all see death. And so the one brother who had the gall to be like, I'm above death. I'm going to make people come back. You know, it was just disrupting that natural order. It's so crazy how she takes these huge concepts and just distills them down into these nice narratives. I'm so jealous of it.
It's also interesting that death is not a ominous guy, scythe-wielding...
Hmm.
I mean, he's hooded, and obviously he's to be feared by the normal person who hasn't mastered death, but he gives them gifts because he's wise, and he knows that this depending on their character, will lead them to their demise anyway. He knows he doesn't need the water, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he joins hands with the guy who has accepted him as part of life. And it's interesting because if death is part of life, then how can he be so evil? How can he be something to be feared? So only the brother who doesn't see him as necessarily something to be feared, who just sees him as the natural end of things, gets mm-hmm. to have a happy ending. And that's, he's mastered death, like Harry.
And it's so, too, because they're tied into the books then, and then you see the Resurrection Stone, which is, you know, the Sorcerer's Stone, which we got from way back in book one. You know, and it's just this brilliant Joe's... mastery of plot and the way she's thought all this through is, to me, just it. When I read something like this, it just boggles my mind once again. You know.
Well, so I don't think it's the Sorcerer's Stone.
It isn't, is it?
Well, no, but it just reminded else. Me. I harken back to my head.
That, oh, you know, in that concept. Story.
Yeah, concept.
I
that's
see.
What.
Okay.
No, they're not the same. Obviously not. But it's just right. that she had this same kind of whole thematic thing going on, and she'd woven it back, and then you can see it here represented in a different way, and it's just amazing to me.
Right, like the only person who could get the stone was somebody who didn't want to use it, and so again, mm-hmm. the only person who could cheat death is somebody who didn't see death as something to be cheated.
Yeah.
You cheat death by not fearing it. You cheat death by seeing it as a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the beautiful irony of death. It is part of life.
Why is it that death couldn't find this guy under the cloak? But Luna Lovegood spectroscopes.
No.
Hey, we got.
They can't.
Sue, what did the email say?
Thanks, John. That was a nice segue.
It's because the girl that saw the screening, Rach, she emailed to say that what actually happens is that Luna can see the Nargles.
What?
Nargles that are around Harry, and that's how she senses that Harry is there. So the spectroscopes can't. Technically cannot see through that cloak, but it's because she can see...
What the hell are the Nargles doing around Harry?
I want to know what the Nargles look like. They're not supposed to look
I know!
I don't know! God.
Maybe we don't see the Nargles. Maybe we just see Luna seeing the Nargles.
Right.
Yeah,
but we still have to see what Luna sees, don't we?
No, not necessarily.
Sometimes so they'll be like, oh, there were Nargles there.
Well, sometimes the best storytelling device, the storytelling stuff, is what's off camera, because it leaves it vague to our own imaginations.
Well, that's
how did that
book.
Girl know that they were talking about Nargles?
She has seen the movie.
She saw the movie.
Then she would have had to see the Nargles, wouldn't she?
Or Luna could be like, good thing those Luna Nargles were on you, Harry, or I wouldn't have seen you.
Right,
because I don't know
then
if the effects
were done.
Then
she could have been like, you're lying, Luna. You're a stupid liar.
Okay, that's
but
exactly
but that's
what
how she knows Harry's there underneath the cloak. So that's, I mean, she doesn't see him, you know. Through the cloak.
Okay.
I'd have just took like an eraser and like whacked it against each other and let the chalk fall, and then you would have seen the outline of Harry underneath.
Good thing they provide all those erasers on the Hogwarts Express.
I'd keep them around just in case.
Yeah.
You mean like the chalk that Moody threw at Seamus and just whacked him?
All right.
Yes. Oh, that was funny. I'm glad Seamus is just a pyromaniac this time.
I know, poor Seamus. That's what I'd love to ask Devin. Like, how does it feel to constantly being blown up?
I want
to
come back with Seamus. You want like his life.
Oh, Seamus' life.
That's who I picked in our Pottercast vlog of which character you would want to be.
You did not. You chose Sirius.
No, I changed my mind. If you finish watching my video, Sue,
you
would say
that I picked Dean and Seamus.
Oh, okay.
But I guess your attention span is 1 minute and 48 seconds or something.
Aww. No, it's that I'm so used to you. It's like, okay, I watch a few things and then I get distracted easily. It's like, John's going to be John.
I watch every second of your videos.
Yeah. So. Uh-huh. And what did I talk about this week, John?
You were out in the snow.
Well, yeah. Well, what did
you
I talk
that
about?
From the screen grab, John.
And then I don't remember.
What was Sue's job? I remember Sue's job.
Oh, Sue's job?
That's
she was a healer.
Oh, Jonathan.
Okay.
Back to Beetle,
John here.
Back to Beetle.
Other thoughts about the main story?
I think this is a brilliant story. That this was an awesome story, and it just had me thinking, like, wow, this is what, you know, the invisibility cloak. I'm wondering if Joe knew that the invisibility cloak was a Horcrux, or not a Horcrux, a Deathly Hallow, when she wrote about it in Sorcerer's Stone.
Yes, she knew that.
Yeah.
Because I think she knew the Horcruxes and the Hollows from the beginning.
Yeah. Really?
I believe
that's
so,
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, she didn't have the name for
it. That's not from the very, very beginning, but from the certainly in the early planning stages, I believe.
Like, by the time she finished writing book one, she knew about the Hollows and the Horcruxes.
Probably, yeah.
Or at least in vague concept.
No.
Yeah, because she had all that backstory. I mean, the Dumbledore backstory had to be sketched, and the Dumbledore backstory couldn't be sketched without the invisibility cloak, and she had to work out how James Potter died having an invisibility cloak, so she had to know that Dumbledore had it, and then why did Dumbledore have it? Because it's a Hollow.
Right. I mean, she had to have the whole Elder Wand, especially. I mean, that had to be one of the basic things. I mean, she had to have that whole, like she said, with Dumbledore. That's what I think. I mean, that's what I was trying to say. Obviously, the stone is not the same as the Sorcerer's Stone, but she had all this thematic thing just in her head, and she just wove all of this through. I just find that just another remarkable testament to Jo. She just marvels me. I don't know that many authors can do that on this scale. It's just amazing.
They cannot.
Sorry.
Many do.
But well, yeah. I mean, they do. I'm like mystery writers and stuff. You have to plot all that stuff. But Jo just has this extraordinary amount of things, and it's just so complex. And I don't know. It's amazing.
Okay.
I cannot wait to pick up a full copy and read like these stories.
I know.
Huge, like more than just a summary.
I love that we're not going to have to like sit up all night. You know, yeah. I'm going to read these with nice pleasantness, with nice with coffee next to me. You know, no crazy all-nighter. This time.
What do you mean no all-nighter this time?
It won't, John. It's only 128 pages.
That's an all-nighter for me.
Yeah, me and Frankie will.
But it's not that kind of book. We're not rushing to the end to find out what happens. We're just kind of absorbing and enjoying. It's a different feel.
You know what? Okay, I hate this, but we're going to be all together again for reading this.
Which is going to be so cool. It is getting to the point where if a J.K. Rowling book comes out and we are not together, I will not read it.
I get experience. I wasn't around last time when the published book.
I know, Frankie, which is going to be great. Yay!
I can't believe how much Beetle and the Bard fan fiction there is out right now. I've been trying to. Yeah, it's crazy. And like,
are you being facetious, John? Are you being serious?
If you look up, what's it called? Fanfiction.net.
Mm-hmm.
There's Beetle and the Bard fan fiction, and the slashers got into it somehow. I don't even know what characters they latched onto, but it's remarkable.
I'm looking. I'm looking right now. Hold on.
Okay, look. I have a question for you guys, real quick. If you had which Hollow called out to you? Take yourself away from the descriptions and the connotations it has. Like, I don't want to be the power hungry one, or I don't want to be the arrogant one.
I wouldn't mind the wand. I think that'd be sweet, especially if the wand could heal Harry's broken wand. It could do, like, every spell, like, the best.
Okay, yeah, I'll ask you, which one would you guys want? Keep in mind, if you have the Elder Wand, it will perform magic in this reality.
Oh, hell yeah, then I want the damn
wand. Oh, well, then no,
I don't.
Because that
no, it's
the
not
power
different. No, because look at it. Will perform a wand, but it's just as a balance as the other one, because it was a more powerful one in that world too. So this is just a really powerful instrument.
No. Because it's not that it's more powerful than other things we have in this world. It's that it is the only thing that provides magic. That makes it that's a whole different thing.
But
them being able to ride to the moon.
Okay, look. My whole point is the concept is the fact that it's just as desired as it is in the other world, pretty much. So people would still be hunting it down. So like you
but it's different.
But I know.
But
I
it's,
realize
it's much
it's
different
you.
In the other world. It's much different in the other world for that to be the most powerful item of an item that everybody has, as opposed to the only one in this entire world that can perform magic.
Okay.
Seriously?
Then even more reason for it to be sobering. Like, do you really want to have that on you? You know what I mean?
Would people know you
to
have it?
Magic? That changes the whole nature of the question.
But
for
what
me.
Is
I can't
what he's getting
question.
At
well,
is that
okay,
would you want to be hunted?
To me, it balances out because you can do magic, but if you're the only person to have access to that, do you know how many people are going to hunt you down?
But that,
you know what I mean?
But that changes the nature of the question. You're talking about basically like the price of fame or the price of owning a unique item that is world coveted.
Why are you
and
complicating Frankie's question?
I
need it to be complicated. I just want to know which one you guys would you have to choose now.
It's different.
You had to pick
three.
I
want to place us into the wizarding world and then pick.
No.
Because it's different.
I want this
it's
world.
Much different.
It's my question.
It's a different question. I can't answer that question that way.
So Melissa wants the wand. Whatever, it's cool. I want the wand, too.
No, I can't answer that question that way.
Why not?
It's not the same
both
thing.
Ways. We'll ask it both ways.
Both ways?
Pretend J.K. Rowling.
There is no way I can give up the only item that can ever perform magic ever.
Okay,
and
that's a legitimate answer. Don't be so...
No, it's not, because it's not the same question. It is not the same question. That question is, would you like to do magic? That's what that question is. The question, if you're inside the wizarding world, is which of these three items would you pick if you were Harry?
Okay,
or
any
other character.
Not if you're Harry, if you were you.
If I was me, I would see any wand that performed magic, whether it was the Elder Wand or not. You can't put that next to any item in the world, and I wouldn't pick it.
Okay.
But
that's
not
answer,
the
then.
Same question to me.
Okay, then now, again, if you were in the wizarding world, which three would you pick?
The cloak.
Okay.
Because I would want to sneak into things.
Okay, John?
Not for anything selfless. I just want to be able to, like sit in a mall all night and look at things. Or I want to be able to...
Go into movies.
I don't know. Watch people unobserved, which is kind of really impossible to do. So.
Okay, John?
Well, my non-100-second answer is I want the wand in both circumstances. Because,
okay.
A, the wand could do magic in this world, and in the magical world. The wand can do any magic, like, the best. So if I wanted to be invisible, I could do, like, the best disillusionment charm I could think of.
Sure.
And if I wanted to, like, talk to dead people or whatever, I would, like, do, like, the best, well...
spell that doesn't exist?
Reanimation. Not reanimation, but what's the spell that can make portraits and things for people? I don't know. But I would talk to the portrait of that person. Or I'd make one if it didn't exist with my cool wand. So there.
I don't think the wand makes you an artist.
I would use the wand to imperious an artist to make the...
You don't know enough about this.
Touché,
yeah, see,
John.
This is why John shouldn't have the wand. Sue, what's your answer?
In real world, I mean, I think those who might have known would know me. At one point, I have lost someone I love very, very much, and I would have loved anything more than anything in the world to have that stone, to have them come back. But that cannot happen. So I would not choose that, although it would be my greatest temptation. But I think I would pick the invisibility cloak for here in the real world, because sometimes I just would like to just disappear. I feel like that's what I do in real life. I just try and be quiet and stay in the background a lot of times for my real job, so just kind of observe other things. In the magical world, I might be tempted for that wand, although I do not actively seek out power. I don't like to have the power and that kind of thing that would come with it. I don't know what the cloak would do me. If I could do magic, I wouldn't want to hide from it. I would want to embrace it. So, and the stone would not be an option there either. So I'm going to have to pick the wand for that.
The wand in the magical world?
Yeah.
The stone's kind of crappy, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it brings back, like, an emo, a dead person...
Look, I would say that, but I forget who someone over tour, I asked somebody, and I forget who it was. It was one of you guys, remind me. And they said that they would want to use the Resurrection Stone, but only, like, for a couple hours to talk to, I think it was their grandma or somebody. And I thought
that
was really,
that
really beautiful.
Can the person you bring back talk?
Yeah, it's...
But that's the thing.
You're viewing them through the veil.
Oh,
what
duh.
Happened.
Hi, Deathly Hallows.
Yeah,
that conversation with everybody.
But that's I said that to you, Frankie, because it is definitely my grandmother. But because it's the people, you want it for like a half hour, but then you think about that for a while, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have the chance at these three items, and I have one that really isn't going to be satisfying to me. It's only going to intensify the way I miss these people.
Yeah,
you know.
I know,
and
but
so
I just
the more you think about it.
It sounds beautiful. Like with me, right. I would, if it was the wizarding, if it's the real world, it would either be the cloak or that stone. The stone, because I think it'd be fun to talk to my grandma, and I have an older brother that was stillborn that I never knew. But my mom carried him full term, and so it's one of those things that they'd be so crazy to see, even though he didn't have a chance to grow up to really develop in who he is. But it would still be interesting to talk to like. And someone that I never met that is my older brother, you know what I mean? So that'd be really tempting. But like you said, it's one of those things that, like, you can't really... But then for me, if it was him, since I never knew him in this life, it's not like I'm pining after something I had once before. So it'd be just... I don't know. But I would probably boil down to picking the cloak. And in the wizarding world, probably the cloak, too, because... I would just, with me, I would just worry with the Elder Wand, and I wouldn't, it, to me, it wouldn't be worth having to look over my shoulder a lot, because other people kind of like, I guess, I think it's honorable what Dumbledore and what Harry tried to do. They tried to break the wand of its power by dying a natural death as its owner. And I think that'd be cool, but at the same time, it's, I don't know. I don't think I would have the composition for that. Because I get worried already, so it's like having something to actually worry about is not
worth
it.
Well, I also enjoy the challenge in learning how to do really good magic with my own wand. If I had a wand, I would want to learn how to do it myself. And I wouldn't need the Elder Wand. That was my point with it being a different question. Like, do you really need the Elder Wand? The Elder Wand is just making you putting less effort, and I actually really enjoy effort. So
you think the Elder Wand never fails on the spell you're trying to do?
Of course it does, but it's going to fail a lot less of the time than...
So I found the loophole, then. I'm going to get the Elder Wand. I'm just going to Accio the cloak and the stone.
No, the cloak can't be Accioed.
The Elder Wand can Accio whatever it wants.
No.
The cloak, they tried
they
to Accio,
each other
it
out.
Didn't work.
Yeah. Because they're both of the same grade of material. Like, they both have equal power, but so it's kind of like, you know, they can't... It's like arm wrestling your double. It's like, well, you're going to just have a draw because it's, you know, you're arm wrestling yourself.
See,
part
for me,
of the Elder Wand is that... I'm sorry.
No, it's just that you were talking about that. That's what the Elder Wand can do. For me, the greatest temptation would be one, and I think we talked about this once on a conundrum or something, but would be to want to do good. I would want to do good with that. Try and, like, create good things, heal things, you know,
That's awesome.
And that's what I would want to do with it. I would reject that. I don't like that whole power thing. It freaks me out. Like, I wouldn't like that pursuing people would want that. But I would want to do good with it. It would be an opportunity to want to try and do as good.
That's always the intention. But then once people know that you're using an Elder Wand or the Elder Wand to do it, then maybe a lot of bad can come from it. So for me, I personally, I'm not disrespecting your opinion on it at all.
Yeah.
It's just that me personally, I would rather just get to the point where I could do it myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I see what she means. But, like, the wand is capable of things that other wands aren't. Like, it can heal, like, it repaired a wand, which typically you can't do. So I can see, like, what she means by, like, it has the capability of doing something that other wands aren't capable of. And I think with that attitude and the intent, you're safe from the wand's lure, but you have to make sure that this wand is a treacherous thing. Like, it's going to seek the mightiest master, so it will draw other people who don't have such noble hearts and intents.
And people who are just full of might, not necessarily good, but might, would fight over it, and that's why it has a bloody history. You know, it's like the nuclear bomb, in a way. The people who made it, were the biggest proponents against its use after they made it. So you know, it's just with the best intentions. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know that, but I totally admire that you would want to do all the good stuff with it. For me, I just couldn't. It seems to me like too much of a disruption of the natural order of things. You know, it's so tempting to want to be Bill Gates and take all his money and solve world poverty, but then you realize that after Bill Gates has no money anymore, then he can't use his money to continue doing good when world poverty strikes again. Do you know what I mean? So it's like a balance thing in my head. Anyway.
I don't want to, you know, if I had that chance to go work in the magical world and walk in that world, I would not want to hide. I would just want to absorb as much. I mean, I know how you feel, because you just, like, want to, like, go and look and see, and you can learn more about magic even, too, I suppose, under it.
I want to, like, go, like, spend all night in a museum, or go and literally watch people when they don't know I'm watching. Not in a, like, weird way, but, like, watch people's interactions. It's really hard. Especially, I guess this is the reporter thing, is that the act of observing something changes it. And I would love to just be fly on the wall, girl, you know?
Yeah.
And here's my question for you guys. If the Resurrection Stone can be used instead to bring back, like, anybody whenever you want them to for, like, 15 minutes, would you want that instead? Because I would love that.
What do you mean? Actually physically
question,
bring back
Einstein, you know? Got a politics question? Bring back Lincoln.
Fancy.
Oh,
man, that's like a Pushing Daisy moment, man. That would be so cool.
See, I don't know about that, because I don't know how relevant they would be outside of their time frame.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm sorry. This is a really interesting conversation. It could go on forever.
It's almost a little bit of a canon conundrum.
It is.
This is a Beatle conundrum.
But that's what's so great about Josie. That's what's so great about these, and that's why I can't wait to read these books, because you can't have these conversations.
In 2008, celebrate America. Do the patriotic thing and join the Wizard Rock EP of the Month Club. The club features 12 CDs from 12 amazing Wizard Rock bands, including Bread and Forge, for only $60. All proceeds go to benefit First Book and the HP Alliance. Go to wizardrockclub.com and join today.
And we're back.
Yay! I love
the
show.
Yay, the drums.
Oh, but I love the holiday season, right, Melissa? Just full of music and magic and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, full of excitement. Yes, our YouTube vlog. You should go subscribe to them, because we're going to be out Christmasing each other for the next couple of weeks. And then we've got a whole, like, thing planned that I can't talk about yet. But yes, and part of it has to do with you guys being in Ooh-nay-ork-yay.
Oh, right.
Is that how you do that?
If anybody lives in Une Norie or whatever the hell we're calling it,
well, it's
you
not
think there's some
be
stuff
the
that
small
we should be
orange if we get our drift.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. Ah, doodles. If you have any ideas for what we should do, you should probably email them to us, because we're going to be doing stuff like crazy.
Yeah, anything that you think that you would like to see the podcast for doing in New York, the weekend of Beat on the Bar, no coincidence whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. None.
Other than that, you should, like, clear your schedule until we give you further directions, but no. No reason that you should worry about that at all.
Melissa lives in Brooklyn on 200... No, not 200.
I was going to say, John!
Nothing, John!
I live at 143.5 West 60th Street.
No, come on. We heard you live in Trump Tower. I heard you in hanging
out
with
the
dog.
I do, don't you know? I have a triplex in Trump Tower, and I park my cars inside it, and I get them up there with the special ramp that they had built into the building just for me, and three golden monkeys meet me at the door. Don't you know?
Awesome.
Golden monkeys?
Don't you know?
Well, at least they're not house elves, so that's good. You know, very benevolent.
Don't you know? I'm like the richest person on the face of the planet, except that I'm not, so... Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I'm shutting up.
And you're not letting those guys drive your cars while they're in Narc or wherever we're going.
No, the monkeys do it better.
Yeah.
Well, I think they know to avoid the standing zones.
can I tell? Frack thought that no standing meant you can't actually stand in it.
Why can't? What is above them for putting a no parking sign? Why is that
no
above
parking
them?
No parking is different than no standing. No standing means the car cannot be there at all. No parking means you can't leave it there.
No, no parking means you can't be there, period.
No, no parking means if you're sitting there and drive, you're not parked. Therefore, you're not parking.
Nope.
Get it?
It's convoluted.
Okay. As will no doubt be on the site by now, Jingle Spells 2 is now available for pre-order. Go get it now.
Yay!
And I'm telling you, get it super fast, because last year, 3,000 physical copies were sold. This year, we're only printing 1,800 physical copies. We're actually printing 2,000 physical copies, but 200 of them are for the hardworking bands who donated their songs, and they're all getting 10 copies each. So we really only have 1,800 copies. The rest will be on iTunes. But on iTunes, you're not going to get the beautiful artwork by Frankie, and I need to take a breath. Okay.
How many are they going to be on eBay?
None.
I'm sorry? They're
I'm
not.
Gonna, I'm going to go on eBay.
If you like charity, you don't put these on eBay. These are for literacy. A literacy foundation and the Harry Potter Alliance. We are selling 1,800 copies. Never mind that if you bought it last year, you're getting an email from me telling you that they're on sale. So if you didn't buy it last year, you're not getting that email from me. You better beat the people who are getting the email, because as soon as they get the email with the link in the email, they're going to go buy it. So you better, like, run, because these are going to sell really, really fast.
Because it's awesome.
In fact, they're
gone. What if you don't really... What if you aren't... don't mind... never mind.
They're going to sell so fast that I don't know if there's going to be any left by the time this podcast comes out.
Oh,
my gosh.
So here's a difference between last year. Most of the bands from last year are on it again because we just couldn't help ourselves. But we have like 9 new bands, and it's a longer album and even an even better album. There's some old twists, new twists on old songs. There's some covers. There are some amazing, wonderful, sprawling Christmas epics, and then there's some quieter, really kind of collegey songs. It's really. Oh, it's great.
Ecology.
Yeah, there's a song. I keep calling it Ecology because there's Talks in the Aura kind of blew my socks off. I love them to death. And they made this song called Candle in the Window, and it's about Remus missing Tonks. I mean, Tonks missing Remus on Christmas because it's the full moon, and it's wonderful. So that's one of the. I mean, I love them all, but it's just. It's amazing. Swish and Flick got a great hip hop song in there. There's rap. It's got more tude. More tude.
I'm partial to my Hufflepuff brother.
Well,
that's all I'm going to say.
It also features Sue Upton.
Shh.
Can I?
No.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. And then soon, make. I'm shutting up.
Rep the Ravenclaws. What?
Because it's an awesome Christmas album. It's an awesome Christmas album that involves Harry Potter. It's an awesome Christmas album that involves, holiday album that involves Harry Potter and benefits 2 amazing charities. And if you haven't bought it by now, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know. There you go.
I don't either. I am flabbergasted. Flabbergasted.
So am I.
Can I just say this? Frankie's modest. Wait till you see his artwork, folks.
Oh my gosh.
Just the man.
Let's just say there's a couple of Patronuses in there.
You, Frankie.
Shut up.
Like, Frankie,
I'm like, look at all the Patronuses. Like, oh, there's 18 this time. Like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Frankie, but you're so good at it.
Well,
like,
I don't mind.
All 18 and blurbs for all 18. Yeah, this. It's a large piece of artwork.
Yeah, they won't be able to see the Patronus, the Patronus band. Oh my gosh.
Yep. Patronus is for the band.
If they don't get the hard copy. I guess
no,
I can release that later, but that'll give you incentive to buy it.
Well, wait till they're all sold. But,
yeah, of course.
Okay, here's the other thing. They're all going out at once. The first to second week of December, they're all being sent out at once. Do not email me 3 days after you order it to say, I haven't gotten it yet, I'm going to sue you. Please be patient. This is not a slick organization. We are not Amazon.com. We are people sitting in our apartments, putting stamps on thousands of envelopes. Please be patient. There.
But it's worth it. They will arrive, and you will love them and enjoy it, and know that you've done a good thing too. And so, please consider it. I know money is tight this year for people, but this is a very worthy thing, and I hope
that
you all do it.
That's a beautiful thing. What a great gift!
Mm-hmm.
What a great gift for a Harry Potter fan. $15 total with shipping and handling. That's an amazing Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Yep.
Squee. I'm excited.
Okay.
Puts me in a good mood, though, this music.
I think Jingle Spells 2 should be put on somebody's Amazon wish list.
I think that's it. Or their Cauldron Shop wish list. Ooh, we need to put that on the Cauldron Shop.
Yeah.
How do we do that? With our own thing. How does that work?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll figure it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Jingle Spells. Other thing, remember, New York, Beetle the Bard, we're doing something. We are still back and forth on some of the details, so stay tuned to Leaky and to PotterCast.com and to the YouTube vlogs. And every other way that we get in touch with you. But we'll be there.
We'll be there
for a couple days, and it'll be fun, so we hope to see you. So, rock on. Squee!
I'm excited. I can't believe you're coming back to New York. It's amazing.
I know, I'm so happy.
For those of you,
I'm happy.
If you see us in New York, say hi. I hate getting those random messages like, oh, I saw you in New York, and I say hi. It's like, you know what, we're just people. Say hi, we'd love to meet you guys. If you see us, tap us on the shoulder. Hey, okay?
Frankie, I'm not just people. I have a ramp into the Trump Tower and 3 golden monkeys, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, Melissa.
But we'll still say hi. I mean, what do people think? What do people think is going to happen?
I don't know, but I get this message from somebody on my blog. She's really nice, and she's a talented artist as well. And she's all like, oh, I saw you in New York, but I want to say hi. It's like, dude, just say hi.
Are you kidding? You're flattering us so much by seeing us in New York and knowing who the hell we are.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Come say hi.
Can't wait.
Okay, everybody.
All right, guys.
Couple things.
Like
Leakytron, register now.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube,
please.
Subscribe. It makes us happy every time you subscribe.
Yeah.
Frankie.
Frankie
kills
no.
What'd you say? I'm subscribed.
No. Like, every time you subscribe, a Pottercaster grows wings. How about that?
I need wings, you guys.
Oh, that's my favorite movie from Christmas. Oh, one of my all-time favorite. looking for movies. I
Frankie
love
really
it.
Wants
Wonderful Wings. Life. I love it.
The Wonderful Life. Well, it's the theme with the season, people. 3, 5 Jingle Spells. You made it through the show, and you haven't bought Jingle Spells. I don't know what to do with you.
Flabbergasted. I am flabbergasted.
Ah. Okay, so do that. And then, what, John?
Keep twiddling the dials?
Yes.
Oh, well, keep twiddling the dials.
The next password will be Jingle Spells.
Oh, keep each other safe.
Keep faith. Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye. It's good night.
We've missed it.
Job is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when we're having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by John Noe and the Podcast Trio, with additional editing by Andrew Garner and Jeff Gregory. Special thanks this week go to the Owls at Owlcast, and big thanks, as always, go to our transcription elves, transcribing this and every other episode of Podcast for you at podcast.com. For more information about the show and to learn how to be a part of future episodes, visit us at podcast.com. Podcast is the official podcast of the Leaky Cauldron. For all things Harry Potter, check us out at leakynews.com.
Ew, there's something leaking out of your cauldron. It's getting all over my shoes. This cauldron's got a hole in it. It's where the news.